Frank Campbell is in studio this morning. He is the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Yeah, did you have a busy week?
I did. I did have a busy week in a lot of different ways, but, you know, we survived. We survived the eclipse, or as some people are calling, the apocalypse. You know, all in all, it was a great weekend. Great weekend. Just, you know, awesome. Awesome sight to see.
All right. So let's just get right into it now. You are affiliated with the Destination Niagara USA Promotions Group, and we really appreciate the work that you're doing. Obviously, there's a lot of effort throughout the year being put into bringing tourists to Niagara County, Niagara Falls, Lockport, and all points in between. And so there was some planning that went into yesterday. How did that go?
Oh, there was year-plus planning. I think overall it went well. You know, this is my personal observations. Obviously, the numbers will roll in, but not available yet. My personal observations told me that, you know, all the parking lots were full around the city. They had to close off the parking at the state park a couple days in a row because the lots were full. It wasn't mass congestion and confusion like it sometimes can be down there, you mm-hmm. know, like 4th of July, stuff like that. But there were a good number of cars, good number of people, especially as the event got closer. The hotels were very full, you know, but I don't know if it spilled out into other areas as much as was anticipated. But I myself would, you know, see that as, you know, people were waiting to the last minute, and after they saw the clouds here, they ran for the sun, and that's essentially what I think went on.
Mm-hmm. So they traveled more northeast.
Yeah,
of here, you think?
Exactly. I saw some photos of, you know, the cars lined up in Vermont and New Hampshire and things like that, and that's almost what we were expecting here, and we really never came to fruition. Again, it was very busy Saturday, Sunday, and Eclipse Day. But Eclipse Day was busy around Niagara. But, I mean, you know, clouds or no clouds, it was an awesome event. It really was.
That is the truth.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah.
So spooky.
So did you, from your, I'm assuming you were in the falls yesterday.
I was a little bit. You know, I wasn't downtown in the state park.
Oh, okay.
A lot of coworkers were. I saw them posting stuff and talked to some of them, and you know, it was a pretty awesome event. And you know, they were lucky enough that the clouds did part ways for a short period of time to get a good glimpse of the eclipse.
Yeah. Well, I was noting some of the pictures that I've seen, both on TV and otherwise. Just as you say, the clouds parted ways for just a few moments to be able to get some shots of the eclipse. I, on the other hand, was in the part of the county here in the town of Lockport where that didn't happen. We had heavy cloud cover until about, 15 minutes after the eclipse. And then all the clouds went away, Frank.
That's exactly what happened. It was crazy. It was like, clouds, are these ever clouds ever going to disappear? And I looked, and the sunshine was there. Again, like you said, by 4 o'clock, it was sunny.
Yeah.
Complete sun. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, you guys did certainly a great job. And, you know, being prepared. And people are saying, and I'm right in that same camp, I'm so glad that folks in this area were prepared. I don't want to use the word over-prepared, but they were prepared for a lot. And even though maybe that wasn't necessary, it's a whole lot better than being unprepared.
Exactly. It's the what could have been, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was a big crowd. They were looking for more people on the throughway, things like that. Even Buffalo. You know, Buffalo was busy on Saturday. I saw some news reports where people were walking all around Elmwood, you know, the shop owners are happy as can be, and then the people seem to disappear. It was nuts. So, you know, again, my thought or my theory is that, you know, these people are eclipse chasers, and they're going to go where their best opportunity is to see the eclipse. And
right.
They packed up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just left,
yep.
You know. They got where they needed to go to see this thing in you know, totality.
Yeah. All right. So that explains, Eric.
Yeah.
Why my observation yesterday around 2 a.m. coming to the station, seeing several of the tour buses heading east, Route 31 into town, and I observed them as I was sitting at the intersection there with the bypass, and couldn't figure out. So they probably were on their way. Further northeast from here.
Just kept on going.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't follow him to find out.
You would have ended up in Vermont.
Yeah, well, I can think of worse places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vermont's a very beautiful, beautiful state.
Yeah.
And but, Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye. We
yeah.
follow the old man wherever he wants to go.
Wherever he wants to go.
That's the one, yeah.
I thought we banned singing on the air.
That was semi-singing. That
okay.
wasn't full song.
All right. Well, in any event, yeah.
No, we banned you from singing on the air. Let us clarify this.
Okay. Well, yesterday was very memorable, and I know a lot of folks, like in my neighborhood, they had their cameras out. They were taking pictures of this, that, and the other thing. And, of course, since we couldn't see the eclipse itself, watching the cloud formation, watching the activity around the neighborhood, like all of the light-sensitive lights were coming on,
yeah.
You know, as it was getting darker and darker, and the birds, of course, were gone. So Eric and I were talking earlier, Frank, we kind of want to know, from a fish standpoint, how did they respond to the eclipse yesterday?
Well, I haven't had a chance to ask them, but... No, I'm going to tell you that there were some guys out fishing, and just about to a person that I talked to or got reports from, fishing was phenomenal before, catching fish, and then it got dark, and they bit for the beginning of the, you know, the turn to darkness, and then once it got full dark, they quit biting. They quit feeding. And then it took a little while afterwards, and they went back to feeding. So it was almost like a situation where that light switch goes on and off, and those fish have to have time to adjust. That would have been my scenario, you know, the way I thought mm-hmm. it would have went down, and the fish would have eventually bitten or been active if it stayed dark for a little bit longer. But it actually screwed them up. It went from that light to dark, and there's a transition time where the fish take some time to adjust their feeding habits and their activity level, and then they would become active again at night. But this was a switch-on, switch-off, switch-on sort of scenario, so they never were able to adjust to that when it was truly dark during the eclipse. And mm-hmm. after the eclipse, after the light came back up, they started back on being active. So kind of exactly what we thought, and it falls in line with the other animals. You know, you saw the birds flying, you saw the, you know, the birds chirping, and then silence, you know.
Yeah.
I think they were caught off guard too. They
yeah.
were like, dude, dude, whoa, it's dark, gotta get home.
Yep. And then all of a sudden it's light again.
Yeah.
Back to
yeah.
Hey, what's
what
going, on?
Going on? That's
yeah.
the quickest
yeah.
sleep I've ever had.
You wonder. So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the potential of a lot of activity on Lake Ontario with, you know, not only, you know, just recreational boating, but also fishing charters and stuff. Was there a lot of activity on the lake, or was it kind of mild yesterday?
There were a few guys that got out there. I did talk to a few guys, and again, I think that... a lot of that was foiled by the clouds.
Yeah.
You know, people were like, yeah. I mean, you think about it. Saturday and Sunday would have been absolutely perfect. Today, perfect.
Yeah.
It's like the Charlie Brown effect, isn't it? It couldn't. The football gets pulled out right at the eclipse.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah, kind of reminds you of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it was amazing, though, the people that were down at the falls, you know, were able to see that glimpse, you know. Nothing's going right. to happen, and then the clouds parted, and people got to see it. And one thing that I found very, very interesting was the fact that almost to a person, these people that came here were happy they came here. And they did get a glimpse of the eclipse, but even without it, they were like, we're going to Niagara Falls. Where else would you want to be?
Right.
And knocking it off their bucket list. You know, they could have got a 2-for-1. They didn't end up 2-for-1.
But the one they got was a good one.
Exactly.
Now, sure,
exactly.
They'll be back, right?
Yeah, that's exact. Everyone that I talked to or saw, you know, interviewed, that was pretty much the sentiment.
Yeah.
Was, you know, we're here. We took it in. It was great. Didn't see the eclipse, but the falls, you know, was totally awesome.
Yeah. I read several articles this morning in the papers, and people were quoted as saying identically the same thing, that, hey, let's go to the falls, because even if it's going to be cloudy and we can't see the eclipse itself, at least we get to see the falls. And I thought that was a really, really fascinating attitude to take, you know, to come to the area.
Well, and I saw people enjoying the area, John. I saw people, you know, the parking lot at Devil's Hole State Park was full. The parking lot at Whirlpool was busy. So people were hiking, biking, walking, running, you know, taking advantage of outdoors. It was just great that the weather was decent, too.
Yeah. Very good. 7:56 on this Tuesday morning. We were talking with Frank Campbell this morning, Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a little bit about hundreds of thousands of birds that flew over Erie County overnight.
Yeah, I actually saw on an app, the I think it's the Niagara Birding Facebook page this morning. They estimated that about 800,000 birds plus flew over Erie County last night. Now, I didn't count them all myself, but yeah, it's pretty amazing this time of the year. A lot of people don't pay attention, but if you look up in the sky, even during the daytime, you'll see birds migrating. A lot of times they're birds of prey, hawks, things like that. But it's going on, and it's going on around the clock. But a lot of birds navigate at night and, you know, do their travels at night. And there's certainly can be a lot of them if there's 800,000 of them. You know, that was getting high in numbers, but... yeah, there were a lot of birds last night, John.
Glad I'm not a windshield in Buffalo.
Yeah, so, I mean, how do they, I mean, I'm trying to figure out practically, if I was looking up in the sky saying, wow, one, two, three, oh, that one flew away. I mean, there's got to be a way to get to that number. Is it scientific? Is it electronic? How do they do that, Frank?
So I did a little research. Believe it or not, that's what I was doing, John. And they used to do something called moon watching, where they'd actually watch the birds fly by moonlight. You know, makes sense. There's enough light that you can see birds flying in overhead. And now they developed some different ways, and one of them is putting microphones up on high towers and can actually hear the birds going by and... you know, audio, identify them and also, you know, kind of estimate their numbers. But there's a guy who's coming out with a night vision almost video where he's videoing them going by at night and then recounting them during the day, you know, in great numbers. It's pretty crazy. But I guess this has been going on since the moon watching has been going on since like 1870. So even before a couple people I know were born.
it's fascinating to think, you know, there's all this activity, you know, above us.
Yeah, and it's I mean, you would probably have to believe that you could at times pick them up on radar too. You know, there's that many birds, and they go as far as to tell you that they're traveling northeast. They're traveling at 27 miles an hour on average. It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat what they come up with. And just the fact that there was almost a million birds that flew between 8 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock this morning is absolutely nutso.
Wow. So with using radar now, would they? Does that give you the capability of, let's say, in a certain square footage area, there's, you know, so many birds there, so we multiply that times you know, however many other square footages there are. I know what I'm trying to ask. That didn't come out quite right, but you get my point,
yeah,
right?
I think that there's a way to estimate, you know, density and things of that nature. That's the same thing they do out in the lake with sonar. I mean, when they're doing bait fish surveys or fish surveys, they can actually, you know, now they're able to almost identify certain prey fish and certain, you know, numbers of prey fish just based on density. I'm sure that it's a similar scenario. It's pretty interesting, though. It's on the Buffalo Niagara birding site on Facebook. And, you know, they're saying that there was 834,700 birds approximately that traveled over Erie County last night. Mm. Pretty
nuts. That's quite precise for an approximation.
Yeah. Well, they apparently had some time on their hands.
And we have the technology.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's fascinating that, you know, most people never know that, you know, these birds are traveling at night. And even during the day, you know, you don't take the time to look up. So sometimes we just got to take a minute. And I did that one day out in the boat, and I was pretty amazed at how many hawks I counted that were flying by. It was like 30 or 40 of them during, you know, a couple hour stretch that were heading north. And that's what most of these birds are. They're heading north now. They know that spring is upon us, and you know, it's time to go. And another thing that absolutely amazes me is some of these birds are born, you know, in other places, south to north, north to south, and they're out of the nest. They kind of know where they're going. You know, it's almost like they navigate by the stars, and they're, you know, flying at certain, you know, certain headings, and suddenly they're, you know, caught up with the flock of birds that they, you know, of their kind. It's nuts that they're able to do that right out of the instincts, out of the nest.
Well, in the moment or so we have remaining in this segment here, Frank, I've noticed this year especially, I've seen the Canadian geese flying overhead. And normally they're in a very organized pattern, but this year, for some reason, I have not seen that. They're kind of like all over the place. Do you have any idea? Are they upset about something? Or I mean, that's a ridiculous question, I know, but I'm curious as to why they're not in the organization patterns that they usually are.
My guess, I mean, just guessing, would be wind patterns. You know, there's not as much wind, and they don't have to create that that draft that they all usually fly off of. That would be my guess, John.
Yeah.
You know, just totally, completely a guess. Mm. You know, but I can do a little research on that and try to help you out with an answer. I'm seeing that could be a trivia teaser question at the rate we go.
Yeah, I'm always looking for good trivia teaser material. So we'll think about that one. So yeah, let us know, Frank. That's an interesting question. So
I will do that.
Yeah. All right. So we've had an action-packed conversation here with you. We talked all about the eclipse and the goings-on around Niagara County yesterday. We've talked about the massive amount of birds that have flown over the area since 8 o'clock last night. And I guess what's left is to talk about the pen programs and the fish that have been infused into some of our bodies of water here.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here as far as the fishing in Niagara County. Just want to make a couple notes before we get into the pen projects. Oppenheim Park and Hyde Park were stocked last week with brown trout to the tune of about 1,200 or 1,400 brown trout, some bigger, some smaller, but definitely an opportunity to get access to them in a city setting in Niagara Falls. And, you know, you don't have to travel far to get to Oppenheim Park either. So ample opportunity to catch some trout. There's also some good, decent smelt run going on in the Niagara River right now. Got some reports the last couple nights that they were in pretty thick and heavy. And, you know, if you're one of those people that like smelt to either eat or use for bait, now's the time. Get out there. The weather's nice, and they're running in evenings. You're getting them in nets, and it's a pretty cool scenario. So those are a couple things that are going on in addition to the pen projects. Alcott received their fish last week. I believe they got about 140,000 kings, which should equate to some good fishing in Alcott for the next several years, or out in Lake Ontario for the next several years. These pen projects are done. to create a better fishery and to improve survival and imprinting of the salmon and trout. And, you know, Alcott's leading the way with 140,000 kings. They got some steelhead in there, too. So, you know, taking care of both of them. And one of the recent things that we found out is raising these steelhead from, you know, where they were raising them to about 5 inches up to about 7+ inches improves their survival dramatically. So we're hoping to create that by holding these fish in the pens, feeding them, and getting them bigger and acclimated to these different waterways. It should bode well for future fishery. Wilson also got about 10,000 steelhead, I think 5 or 10,000 steelhead in the harbor there, and that'll help with the fishery out front of Wilson, and you know, with those steelhead returning to the pierheads and hopefully up into the creeks in the late fall and winter, spring. You know, and the Niagara River will receive their fish next week. They get about 90,000 kings and about 10,000 steelhead in the pen project. And again, that's to enhance the fishery in the Niagara River. So, you know, they're really doing things to up the game in Lake Ontario when it comes to salmon fishing and trout fishing. And these pen projects are leading the way. You know, no better way to get these fish to survive better and to create and maintain a great fishery out in Lake Ontario. So every salmon that the New York State DEC stocks into Lake Ontario this year should be pen stocked, should be pen raised, which, you know, should increase the potential for better fishing in the future. I think we're getting a little bit over 1 million kings this year. So we're getting back to levels where we feel are, you know, going to create an even better fishery from what it's been the last several years, which has been dynamite. So kudos to the DEC and all these clubs and organizations taking on the responsibility of rearing these fish, pen rearing these fish to help everyone create a better fishery out in Lake Ontario.
Wow. Nice. So, Frank, when the fish are put into the Niagara River, is it the lower river, or do they put some in the upper river as well? How does that work?
No, these pen projects are in the lower river. The upper river and Lake Erie do not get salmon stocked. They do get some steelhead stocked in the tributaries along Lake Erie, but the only pen project going on up there, I believe, is in the Buffalo River, and they actually will pen rear some steelhead, and they found success in it. So, you know, the whole raising the fish from 5 inches, what used to be the standard, to 5 inches and getting them up to 7 inches actually came from Lake Erie, where they were putting less fish in but getting better results because they were raising the fish a little bit bigger. Seems to be the threshold of getting a better product, in this case fish, was that 7-inch threshold, which, you know, will enable these fish to survive better and in turn, you know, will create a better fishery for everybody to enjoy. So, you know, Jim Markham, I do believe, was the Lake Erie unit leader, and now he's the manager for Region 9. You know, he's brought this thought process to the hatchery also. So any fish that are direct stocked, the trout, they're looking to raise them bigger before they let them go. And, you know, I think that'll just, you know, enhance what we already have, which is a great fishery. And that, and the fact that we're going to hopefully be able to harass cormorants a little bit more and take an aim at keeping them out of, you know, the areas that we're stocking, or, you know, deterring them from coming into the creeks and, you know, any area that's being stocked in the near future, we're going to haze them. And if we have to take them by lethal methods, we'll do such. You know, this year I think the quota for taking cormorants has increased by about 1,000, which is pretty significant. And we don't want to destroy the whole cormorant population, but we want to control it, you know, and it's out of control. So that's one of the other things that we're looking for, you know, is to control or deter these cormorants from, you know, taking a toll on our stocking, which in turn takes a toll on our fishing, which in turn takes a toll on our economy. So, you know, it's this feeding that sort of a scenario. You know, hopefully this year we're able to, get to where we need in controlling those Comrant issues.
All right. We are talking to Frank Campbell this morning, Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator. And so when the pens were stocked just last week or 2 weeks ago, was there any interference with the Comrants at all? Or
No, there's not a lot of Comrants around yet. I just saw the first flock of them come through the other day when I was down in getting some stuff ready for the pen project in Youngstown. I did see some birds flying through, and those are the first group of them that I've seen this year. Hopefully, they got the message last year and they've headed someplace else. And that's really the problem, is that you have birds that are being pushed from one place to the other. We need to really take the bull by the horns and just lessen their numbers is what really has to happen. And, you'll hear that from everyone, and there's means to do that. And, obviously we're not doing it as anglers, but, the governmental agencies can, take care of that for us if they see fit, the fact that these birds are really taking a toll on the stocking and their numbers are increasing. As we said before, there was actually a situation, and actually there's going to be a paper written on it or an article written on the fact that on the upper river there were so many cormorants on Strawberry Island that they overtook an eagle's nest. And actually there's pictures of cormorants that are sitting in the nest with the eagle. It's nuts. And actually the eagles were already on eggs that year, and they abandoned the nest and abandoned the eggs because there were so many cormorants around. Those are the type of things when we know things are out of control. Hopefully they'll be able to, lessen their numbers and create the balance that really needs to happen.
Hmm. Wow, that's amazing to realize that the eagles would just abandon the nest and the eggs. I guess they're would be intimidated maybe by the sheer number? Is that
exactly? They're just being overwhelmed by the number. And, these cormorants are saying, oh, well, there's a big nest. Let me go sit on that nest. And actually, we do have a couple of nesting pairs of eagles in the area. So, it can become a major concern. I think these are first few nests that we've seen. Now, one is, not near the water, and the other one's right on the water. So, the scenario is possible to exist again, and that's not what we want. We want these eagles to be able to sit on these nests and, create eagles for many, many years to come.
That's
and
right.
That's definitely not what happened in that scenario.
Well, all right. Well, Frank, thank you. We appreciate the updates in all these areas. And was there anything else you wanted to share with us? We have about a minute or two.
Yeah, just the fact that, there's some really good fishing going on in Lake Ontario right now. Catching a bunch of kings, or starting to catch some kings. Catching a bunch of brown trout. Been one of the best years for brown trout and lake trout also. Mm. It seems like bass are starting to turn on in the upper and lower Niagara River. And wouldn't doubt if the canal starts kicking into gear too. The water's starting to warm up. And with these warmer days coming up, it's only going to enhance the fishing. So if you have the opportunity, take it and get out there and get into some good fishing that we have here in Niagara County.
All right. Frank Campbell, thank you so much. We appreciate the opportunity to see you today and to hear you. And next week, you are kind of busy, but you're going to be checking in with us on Niagara's Choice Voice Line sometime earlier in the morning on Tuesday next week, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have a visit from the AGLO, the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers. We have a little media camp going on, so unfortunately I won't be here, but I will check in.
All right, sounds great.